He was a bright little fellow with a fresh-looking face, a clear eye, and golden hair. His father's name was Domenico Columbus. I think that's Domenico. It might be Domenico, but I'm not sure. His mother's name was Susanna. His father was a wool comber. He cleaned and straightened out the snarled up wool that was cut from the sheep so as to make it ready to be woven into cloth. Christopher helped his father do this when he grew strong enough, but he went to school too and learned to read and write and to draw maps and charts. These charts were maps of the sea to show the sailors where they could steer without running on the rocks and sand, and how to sail safely from one country to another. This world was not as big then as it is now, or I should say, people did not know it was as big. Most of the lands that Columbus had studied about in school, and most of the people he had heard about, were in Europe and parts of Asia and Africa. The city of Genoa, where Columbus lived, was a very busy and a very rich city. And on the 30th of July, Columbus saw before him the misty outlines of certain high mountains, which he supposed to be somewhere in Asia, but which we now know are the Coast Range Mountains of Honduras. And Honduras, you remember, is a part of Central America. Just turn to the map of Central America in your geography and find Honduras. The mountains you see are marked there. And on the northern coast, at the head of a fine bay, you will notice the seaport town of Trujillo. Now that's spelled T-R-U-X-I-L-L-O. It looks like Truxillo, but I'm just taking a guess at the Spanish pronunciation, Trujillo. And that is about the spot where, for the first time, Columbus saw the mainland of North America. As he sailed toward the coast, a great canoe came close to the ship. It was almost as large as one of his caravels, for it was over 40 feet long and fully 8 feet wide. It was paddled by 25 Indians, while in the middle, under an awning of palm thatch, sat the chief Indian. A curious kind of sail had been rigged to catch the breeze, and the canoe was loaded with fruits and Indian merchandise. This canoe surprised Columbus very much. He had seen nothing just like it among the other Indians he had visited. The chief and his people, too, were dressed in clothes and had sharp swords and spears. He thought of the great galleys of Venice and Genoa. He remembered the stories that had come to him of the people of Cathay. He believed that at last he had come to the right place. The shores ahead of him were, he was sure, the coasts of Cathay he was hunting for. And these people in the galley of the chief were much nearer the kind of people he was expecting to meet than were the poor naked Indians of Haiti and Cuba. In a certain way, he was right. These people in the big canoe were probably some of the trading Indians of Yucatan.